Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard along with my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote.
I'll write
it. What a show we have for you today. A lot of fun coming your way. A lot of serious talk, but also some entertainment, some enlightenment, some information. We'll have Taj Boyd, former Clemson University All-American quarterback, played 4 years under Dabo Sweeney. And Dabo Sweeney is under fire.
A little hot water there, huh?
Yes, a little hot water for several things. And we'll get the rundown on Dabo from Taj Boyd, who knows him and obviously knows him well. I haven't played for him.
Chris, I didn't like the T-shirt that he was wearing. I know he says we'll get into it, but
do we know when did he wear that?
That was the weekend.
Last weekend, okay.
Everything was. You know what I mean? The timing
I don't know, a little bit.
Am I right?
That doesn't seem coincidental.
Kawinky dink. I'm with you.
I mean, at the very least, it's tone deaf. At the very least, right?
It's poor judgment.
It's entirely tone deaf.
What's going
deaf
on, right? Like you're like.
At worst, you're taking the jab, you know? And so we'll see. We'll get into that, though. And that and much, much more. How you doing, Rob? What's up, man?
I'm doing great. You know, just a crazy busy day. Another column at Deadspin.com, Chris, about the maybe the Redskins, and I don't like to use that name, but
about
Washington changing its team name. I did a column about that. Then I did Undisputed. I reappeared for the first time in a while.
And,
yeah, it was great.
What'd you talk about, everybody?
And they talked about my column, actually.
Okay, with the Redskins.
Not that one. The one we did about
National Anthem.
National Anthem. We talked about it. And so it was pretty good. They both loved the column, just the idea of it, and both had their take. So that was good to be with Skip, Shannon, and Jenny. So it was a good morning, Chris. A lot of stuff going on.
All right. That's good.
Well, How about you? Anything going on?
Well, I was on First Things First. I've been doing First Things First every day pretty much, talking NBA. So that was a lot of fun with Nick Wright, Jenna Wolf, and Kevin Wilds. I got my reintroduction to Undisputed last week. Did that with Skip and Shannon and Jen, and that was fun. So it's getting back to normal. I mean, obviously, we're doing these things from home.
Yeah.
But I've been doing the herd, and, you know, so we're getting some sense of normalcy. And hopefully, we stay on this path, you know. Obviously, you don't know exactly what the future holds, but hopefully, we can get back to normal. So
I'm with you. Today felt like a regular day, even though, like you said, I wasn't in the studio, just to be able, because we just haven't really palled around with them that much. So
right.
It's been a little different, but we're there. We're here for you though every day during this whole thing, Chris. We've been here, so that's been a good thing.
And today is what, Rob?
Trash Talking Tuesday.
That's Rob's favorite day of the week, and it should be yours because you get to call in and trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. And you'll get that chance in the third hour of the show, 6:35, 6:40 Pacific, 9:35, 9:40 Eastern. Start calling in. You can trash anyone or anything in the world of sports, even the Odd Couple, though. I can't imagine why you'd want to.
Why would you do that?
I can't imagine
why you'd want to.
Right. But it's happened, believe it or not,
a few times.
All right. Let me introduce the Odd Couple crew and let's get right into it. We got DJ Alex Tyshirt on the ones and the twos on a Tyshirt Tuesday. We got super producer Rob G in the house. And on the updates, We got my man, Ralph Ervin.
Yes, your guy.
Another member of the Big Three.
Big two.
I'm happy to have Ralph here. All right, Rob, look, you and I have pushed this. We have said from the get-go, look, Roger Goodell, NFL, if you mean what you said, it's a nice apology, right? You said every single thing the players wanted you to say, almost verbatim. You apologized for squelching the peaceful protest of last year. You even, to this point at least, have defied President Donald Trump, which you didn't do last year or, you know, in the past few years. But we have said that if you really want to put some teeth behind your statement, Colin Kaepernick should be offered a job. We know he's good enough. It's not his monetary demands. It's not his ability or lack thereof. It is the fact that he started all of this. And now some players, Malcolm Jenkins, have come out and said, Carlos Hyde as well, that Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. Here's Malcolm Jenkins today on CBS This Morning.
I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. At the end of the day, they have listened to their players. They've donated money. They've created an Inspire Change platform. They've tried to do things up until this point. It's been one player in particular that they have not, or that they've ignored and have not acknowledged, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Spot on, Chris. Spot on, right there. I loved it.
I agree. Like I said, we've been saying that, Rob. We've been saying that. This guy should be in the NFL, period.
And here's the other thing, too. I know we talked about this, too, on Skip and Shannon on Undisputed This Morning, Chris, and there's people saying, well, if they bring him back, then it's going to be looking like just a token gesture or they're throwing him a bone or, you know, they're just doing that. No, stop it. Stop it. This is not NFL welfare. How dare you? His career and job were taken from him. He wasn't some bum, Chris. He ain't some bum who never did anything in the league and you're throwing him a bone. This guy went to the Super Bowl and went to, what, two or three NFC championship games. Ron Jaworski thought he had the chance early on in his career to be the best quarterback we might have ever seen in the NFL. And it was all taken away from him because he was trying to do the right thing. Look out for other people, Chris. Not family members, not friends. It wasn't his brother who was killed. It was nameless and faceless people. And they took his opportunity away. Just like when they had to give him a settlement. Because they weren't against the job code, Chris, and laws, right, in this country. That's why they settled.
Right.
They didn't give him anything. Anybody who was unjustly fired in this country could do the same thing that Kaepernick did. They did that and settled with him rather than going through a trial, because then all their phone records and all their emails, Chris, and everything would have exposed them, and it would have cost them even more. So don't make it like this is some sort of handout or welfare. This guy deserves to be in the NFL. And look at all the bums and also-rans and retired couch potatoes who they've let in the league over the last couple years.
Well, that's my point too, Rob. And I get it, because some people would write it off as PR. And perhaps Kaepernick would write it off as PR. I don't know that for certain he would even accept the job. What I'm saying, though, is he should be given the opportunity to accept or reject the job. Matt Ryan came out and said it as well on Twitter, that he believes Colin Kaepernick should have every opportunity to get a spot on a roster in this league.
Period. Period.
Now, let me address the handout, all that. Enough of this. All right, every time a black person is given something, some people want to say it's a handout. Or, oh, we don't want him to look like a handout. White people been getting handouts for 400 years. So stop it with the handouts. Joe Judge is a special teams coach. He just got the job of the New York Giants head coach. I could argue that was a handout. Josh McCown is 40 years old. Wasn't even that good when he was 30. He was given a job last year. That was a handout. So stop it with the handouts. Because I can go down the line of whites in sports and in society, economically, financially, educationally, judicially, who got handouts. And black people need to stop kicking that as well. Because you darn right we should get some handouts for all that we've done for this country. The GI Bill was a bunch of handouts. But we didn't get them. The white suburbs in this country were built from handouts to white people. We didn't get them. I don't want to hear no black person complaining about a handout. Reparations would be a handout. But everybody in this country's benefited from handouts. So we ain't going to be the only ones that if we're going to be shamed, if we're given something for what we've done. I just got to get that off my chest because enough of this.
I'll give you one. Yale University and some of these big schools, Chris.
Legacies.
Pay, right? They don't even pay taxes in New Haven. New Haven is one of the three poorest cities in the United States, and Yale sits in the middle of it, New Haven, Connecticut. Do people call out a handout that Yale gets a benefit from New Haven but doesn't
Thank
pay
you,
into
Rob.
It?
Thank you. That's and you all know New Haven could use it.
And you know, am I right? How in the world could they not pay anything?
Yale is located in the hood.
The heart, right, of New Haven, Connecticut. Because that's where Southern Connecticut is well. But those are the things, and people don't look at that. Why don't you call Yale out and say that's a handout?
Right.
That's all.
Right.
How I don't want to hear
how
that
about
either.
Cliff Kingsbury? You failed at a lower level. Was
they
that not
you
a handout?
They ran you out of Texas Tech.
Right.
And he got a gig because he had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll with what's his name? From
McVay?
Yeah, with Sean McVay. That's how he got the job because he rubbed up against Sean McVay.
Come on, man. And how many people did you hear say that was a handout? I didn't hear any.
Nobody.
And so enough of that. But I'm with you, Rob. I think Kaepernick should get an offer. And I think we had Chris Candy on yesterday, and I disagree with Chris in that, you know, he was like, well, Goodell, what can you do? Well, you did something with Michael Sam. You called the Rams, draft him. You won't have to appear on Hard Knocks. You can get Kaepernick in the league, especially after what Rob is looking more and more like a dog and pony show last year, right? With right. The workout? I mean, was that real or what was that?
We don't. That's what I'm saying. And then when people say that they don't know if he wants to play or not, Chris, if he didn't want to play, he wouldn't even shown up to that thing.
Right.
Gone to
Good
Atlanta.
Point.
Am I right? Come on, what are you doing? He could have said, that's nice, I'm not coming. Period. I'm not coming. He was there. He changed it, the venue, Chris. He derailed it last year. He derailed it from what they had set up because he could have said before that, that's not the way I want to do it, so I'm not going to show. But the bottom line that he even showed up in Atlanta told you that he's interested in football. So I'm with you. Enough with the handouts. He's a capable player. He just needs a chance and an opportunity to play.
Yeah, and I think, and we talked about this, Rob, look, obviously it'll be controversial, but, you know, if he had come back before, maybe it would have hurt a team's bottom line. But he comes back now, it might help a team's bottom line.
Maybe and that's Jacksonville not why doesn't have him. To play three games in Europe, Chris. Maybe they could sell tickets. You tell me if they had a Kaepernick Jacksonville Jaguars jersey right now, how that thing would be sold through the roof.
Right.
And the attention on that franchise, and that franchise being the only one with a minority owner, it would almost be fitting the way I look at it. Because I'm sure that minority owner has been through his own trials and tribulations, Chris, to get to his wealth and how he made it.
No, I hear you. And here's the final thing on this, and we'll get to the callers. Rob, the league is going toward Kaepernick's strengths, right? He can run. He's got a strong arm. He's mobile. Now, I'm not saying he may not be that good. You know, he wasn't lighting the league on fire last we saw him, but he certainly was a capable quarterback. He's easily a backup caliber quarterback. He might even be a starter. He's, like I said, he's still young. But the fact is, his skill set is more and more teams are going that way, which makes even more reason why he should be in the league. So hopefully he gets a shot. And if he decides, look, I want to do activism, I don't think he just views himself as an activist. But if he does decide that, if he doesn't think the NFL is being sincere and he's got too much pride, whatever, that's on him. What we're saying is he should be given the opportunity to play in the NFL. He doesn't need to try out, I don't believe. Did McCown have a tryout? At 40?
No, he got tryout on his couch is about it.
Right. Come
don't
on.
Don't you remember when, who's the other quarterback from the Bears?
It's a few they picked up that, you know what I'm saying? It's a few they picked up that... Last year,
playing.
Yeah, they were picking dudes left and right, guys who had retired and
guys who had played at low level arena football leagues.
Yeah,
you remember
it was
that?
Crazy.
That had no credentials.
All
and
right,
even
here we go.
Even Jay Cutler's wife had to persuade him in going back. Do you remember that? Oh,
right,
my wife talked me
Jay
into
Cutler
it.
To play again.
Yes.
Right. All right, your turn to weigh in 877-99 on Fox 877-996-6369. Should the NFL give Colin Kaepernick a job or not? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It is easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. All right, let's get to your calls, 877-99 on Fox. Should Colin Kaepernick be given a job back in the NFL? What do you think?
All right. And don't forget, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Let's kick it off. That'll be later on in the program, but let's kick it off with Nick in South Carolina. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's
doing
up,
good,
man?
Hey, I never got a chance to wish Chris happy anniversary last week, so happy anniversary, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, 25 years is something, man. That's unbelievable.
Amazing. It's amazing.
It is. 5 years was enough for me. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I'm not opposed to bringing Kaepernick back. I actually think he needs to come back. He should have never lost a job in the first place. But 2 points. It's really hard to play QB after a 3-year hiatus or a 4-year hiatus. The thing is, he wasn't a superstar before then. It worked out for Vic because he actually was a superstar. I think for Cap, it's going to be a little bit harder. I think rather than just putting him on the bench and having the NFL save face, I think it'd be better if they bring him back maybe in some type of player ambassador role, which then it gives him some sort of long-term role with the NFL where he can help improve race relations, mentor new rookies, expand NFL horizons to other areas so that, you know, the country can continue work on race relations. And this way, Kaepernick has a role with the NFL, and they actually show that they appreciate the movement that he started.
And you know what? That's not a bad idea, but why can't that happen once he's done – football
right.
years. That's all. He's a young man at 31 that be going to be 32. That's young.
He's
Tom Brady's
given,
about to play at 43, Chris.
Right. And Kaepernick's given every indication that he wants to play.
He's a football player.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what he is.
He is. And I don't think Kaepernick just wants to be an activist. Because if he did, he'd be in a great position to do it. He's got the Nike money. He's got the settlement money from the NFL. He's got the money from his career.
leading everybody. Right. He could have done all that stuff. Yep. Am I right? It tells you.
Every activist, if they don't have to worry about money, they can go do and say whatever they want. And Kaepernick doesn't have to worry about money. But he's done the I know my right, know your rights camp, and that's nice. But as you said, Rob, he hasn't become a spokesman. He's not always out there doing stuff. So he looks to me like he wants to play football. And then maybe afterwards he could do that.
No doubt. Chris, one other guy who got a handout, Todd Haley, you remember? Who played golf in college and wound up being an NFL head coach.
Thank you.
Remember that guy.
All the nepotism.
That goes on, especially in the NFL. It's horrible. Marcel in Mississippi, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Chris and Rob? How y'all doing?
Great, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, man, Chris, I'm loving the flyer that you put out a while ago, man. It's awesome, man. I love
it. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Anyway, y'all spot on, dude. Like, Colin, don't forget, he was in the Super Bowl. He was on his way to being a superstar. He was on it, like, he had commercials with the greatest, you know, with the guys that's in the names of the NFL right now, like the Russes and things like that. He was on his way. And speaking of reparations, we should give him, you know, what he lost for this situation. And, you know, once he gets done in the league, like the last caller said, he should have a job similar to what Jay-Z doing. I mean, I think he'll be better at it.
Yeah, he would be better than Jay-Z.
Right.
But we don't know what the settlement was. That was supposed
to
really
have don't.
Made up.
Remember, we got two numbers, Chris.
Right.
We got a real high one, and then they said it wasn't as high. So we don't even know what it was. But they did have to pay him because they violated, you know what I'm saying, they had a chance of losing a case for wrongful termination.
And
it could happen to anybody working at any job if you're unjustly fired. Jabari in Michigan, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Jabari?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris and Rob. And I appreciate y'all bringing the fire every single night. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you,
Thank you, buddy. You know
no
what?
Problem,
We're
bro.
Not going to cheat you. We're not going to cheat you.
Yeah, especially you, Rob, you know, always showing, you know, love for Detroit and everything. So I appreciate that.
22 years, my man. 22 years I lived.
Yes, we do appreciate that. So
all right,
I want to say that.
Enough.
I want to say that definitely Colin Kaepernick should be offered a job. I think that he will be very, very great for, you know, as a backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, I could say he could be helpful for the Baltimore Ravens or even for any team that I would feel like that circulate with predominantly black city, just because I feel like that it would be great for not only for the culture, but also it would definitely be a sellout. Like, it would be sold out in the stadiums if you have a guy like Colin Kaepernick for your team as a whole. Now, if he says that he doesn't want to play football anymore, then that's fine, but he should be given the opportunity. And I feel like that it wouldn't, like, get the NFL off the hook, but at least they would be in a situation where they would be once again be held accountable for the actions that they have done 3 or 4 years ago. And I feel like that if they don't do that, I believe that it should be up to the player's decision to say, if you do not give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity again, we should sit out this season.
Well, look, that's challenging the players. That's putting them on the spot, Rob. You know,
yep.
you and I have talked about they could get a lot of things done if they were willing to go that route.
If they stick together. All they got to do, Chris, is stick together. That's it.
All right. We got our man Taj Boyd coming up next to answer this question. Is Dabo Swinney the leader of men he thinks he is? Recent history isn't on his side, but his former Clemson QB, Taj Boyd, is here to talk about it. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is Chris and Rob, and we've got former Clemson All-American quarterback Taj Boyd coming up right now in the Discover Card Celebrity Hotline. Get your free credit scorecard today. Even if you're not a Discover customer, it includes your FICO credit score. And checking your scorecard will not hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. Taj, welcome to the Odd Couple, brother.
What's happening?
Man, Chris, Rob, man, I appreciate you guys having me on. I heard you guys are on east side of the coast, east coast, west coast. Appreciate you guys. I'm right here in the south. So
Okay. Where are you at down there in the south?
I'm actually in South Carolina. I was born in a little town called Albany, Georgia, man. You know, grew up in Hampton Roads, part of Virginia, and just kicking it out here near Greenville.
Okay. Well, you, Taj, you obviously had a tremendous career at Clemson playing for Dabo Sweeney. And what have you made of all this stuff coming out? He's always been viewed as a guy of high character. And now you've got some former players, you know, pointing out some what they view as some racism. What do you make of all this?
Well, look, man, I'll tell you what. It's not a racist football program. I think when you look at racism as a whole, I think that, you know, as a country, that's what it was founded on. And right. So the fact that, you know, it came out in this manner, in this time, was, you know, the worst time that a conversational piece like this could have happened in the midst of where we're at as a society. But, you know, in that sense and in that situation, I think that, you know, Coach Sweeney handled that ordeal with the coach and the player at that time in such a way that a lot of people were flabbergasted that it could have happened. And we talk about the way Clemson handles business, the way that Coach Sweeney operates. He deals with a lot of things as far as that reconciliation and restoration process, right? He believes in restoration. He believes in trust. And he feels like all those things lead to mutual respect. And I've seen it not just, you know, with that, but he believes in grace and forgiveness and giving people another opportunity. I've seen it with, you know, and obviously in this situation, this is how it played out. But I've also seen it amongst the team and players, you know, who didn't necessarily handle their business. And, you know, in this format where everything is so instantaneous, you know, everything is out, everybody in the media is out for blood, per se. The fact that he handled it internally and didn't necessarily say anything about it, I think is what blew people's minds because they wanted to know about it firsthand. But that's just not the way he handles business over there.
How about the T-shirt situation? I mean, he must have the worst luck in the world. Nothing else was clean. Because the weekend of Black Lives Matter, he's wearing a T-shirt that says Football Matters. Coinky dink, or was that just him trying to be cute?
No. It definitely wasn't him trying to be cute. I think that it was a coincidence. And I can really speak to him and his character because a lot of this is shots at his character. Sometimes, you know, he could be a little oblivious to what's happening around him. And I think that that's everybody to a degree, too. And I'm not out here trying to be some apologizing parrot or defending. I'm simply stating, you know, I know who this guy is and how he works and how he operates. And you talk about the people that were involved in the incident with the coach. And those people continue to forgive and continue to operate. And they had a successful season. And I don't think that fabric works if they didn't. I don't think that the team continued to gel and bond if they didn't feel that same sort of way. So, you know, you got all these coaches coming out all over the country, you know, and they're giving these proclamations. And you know, a friend of mine told me that public proclamations, you know, without policy change, without public change, is just public performance. And so when you think about things that are happening internally, ways that we can actually impact and affect our community, I think that's where he does well at. I think he listens. I think he understands. And everybody wanted such a quick response for him to really come back and combat what was being said. And I think he just wanted a moment to gather himself, consult with the people around him, and figure out the best way to handle the situation, which I think anybody would have done in that situation.
Taj, you played at Clemson with DeAndre Hopkins, and he has signed a petition along with Deshaun Watson to remove the name of the slave owner, John Calhoun's name, from one of the colleges at Clemson. Here's a quote from Hopkins. "I felt this oppressive figure during my time at Clemson and purposely do not mention the university's name before NFL games because of it. I am joining the voices of the students and faculty who have restarted this petition to rename the Calhoun Honors College." What's your take on that? Did you feel the same way? Did a lot of black players feel that, or did you guys not really think about it?
Oh, you know, I'm a ride with my boys, man. And look, anytime we're talking about this figure that is deeply rooted within the South, this dark cloud that's always been here. And so even when it comes to picking a university, picking a school to go to, I mean, that's always in the back of your mind. You know, when I committed to Tennessee, you know, I sat down and talked with Condon Holloway and I talked with T. Martin. When I was considering Clemson, I tried to figure out what that arena looked like and what it felt like, which is why, you know, like historically both Tennessee and Clemson have had black quarterbacks play. I can't necessarily say the same for other universities. And so for me, I felt some type of way that way. But, I wanted to play for a guy who I believe was a dreamer, that had hope for the future. And sometimes, you know, when you get that, you miss what's happening right now, man. But I think that who he surrounds himself with helps him see the blind spot that he doesn't necessarily see himself, which is why he has so many different people in powerful positions. He has Jeff Davis around. He has Willie McCorvey around. He has Tony Elliott as the OC. Because sometimes, man, like where he came from in the situation and environment that he was in, you know, he rose to this level of accomplishment and of success. And he saw it as the only way through that was hard work. You know, you got to work hard to get to where you want to go. That's not necessarily the case for everybody. And that's one of the things I explained to him. You know, when I saw you, I saw some similarities in myself, you know, came from, you know, not the best situation, you know, an impoverished community. I wanted to see what it felt like to go from struggle to success. And I saw that in him. But he also has to realize that the ascent is different, too. And so right now is an opportunity for him to open up his ears, open up his heart, and really listen to what his guys got to say around him, because each individual African-American on that team has a different experience. And as long as he's willing to go forth with that and listen to that, I think we'll see real change.
Well, when you say real change, when you see the protests, the sea of people all in Europe and every city, and the young millennials and black, white, Asian. We've seen some Amish people holding up Black Lives Matter signs. I mean, what does that do for you when you see this movement? Because to me, Chris and I, we talk about it every day since it started, and it feels different this time. What about you?
I mean, look, man, this is a beautiful sight, you know. And I was reading last week To Die for the People by Huey. And, you know, you look at all the forefathers who wanted change within community. And everybody right now thinks that it's going to happen from D.C. And it's not. It's going to happen at the local level. It's going to happen with our mayors and city council.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a huge piece to really understand and be educated on what's happening, man, and how to really affect change. And so as long as everybody understands that those are the actions that need to be taken in order to really change our culture, then I'm all for that, you know. But again, man, like it's so unusual when you talk about coaches and the power that they have. And some people just saying that football coaches are just football coaches and players are just players. And as you guys know, like that's not the case. I mean, we're talking about a sport where African-Americans, black young players are the predominant source of enjoyment, of entertainment. These are the guys that are taking the field. And you're talking about some spectators who are generally predominantly white. And so when you look at the fan bases and what these coaches mean, I mean, it's time for them to get out, speak out, and really try to bridge that gap within that community, because the people in those stands identify with the coaches more than they identify with the players, you know? And so that's why it's important for them to be a voice, man, and to use that platform for the greater good, because, I mean, empathy goes a really long way in households and communities and what they're doing on the field, but more importantly, obviously, everything that they're doing off the field to make a difference in that standpoint, too. And a lot of that, again, is coming from an educational standpoint. You know, I didn't realize how deeply rooted it was until I started to think about, you know, what I was learning in elementary school and middle school and high school. And I didn't necessarily learn about the history of America in its totality,
right.
You know.
Right.
And, you know, we went to the Holocaust Museum, and I understood how tragic that was and what that looked like. But I never went to any of the other African-American communities museums. And, you know, obviously, you know, as a kid, you know, I don't know what's what. So the adults in these situations, man, really had to start implementing change within the communities, but within the players and at the educational level. And a lot of that, again, has to happen at the local level.
Taz, great stuff, man. We appreciate your time, your insight, and thanks a lot. We'll get you on again in the future.
Appreciate you.
For sure. Appreciate you guys, man.
Yep. All right, man. That's Taj Boyd, former Clemson Tigers All-American quarterback. All right, keep it locked. It's more iCouple, Chris and Rob coming your way. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. Taj Boy, he was good, Rob. He was thoughtful. Really good interview with Taj Boy, former Clemson Tigers All-American quarterback. And he stood by Dabo Swinney. Didn't say he was perfect. Said he's got to listen to his players and learn. But he stood by him as a good guy, Rob.
My only thing, and I'm not denying his relationship or how he dealt with them, Chris, but too often, and I've seen it before, Bobby Knight, some other guys, and I'm not putting them on that level, but it's hard for players to break away or talk bad about somebody who recruited them, who put them on that stage. Do you know what I mean? No matter what.
Right.
There were people, even to the bitter end, who would swear by Bobby Knight, and he still grabbed the student by his neck. Do you know what I mean, Chris?
Right. Right.
Like I get it. There's a certain bond between somebody who comes to your family's home and sits in your living room and says, yeah, well, I want you to be my quarterback. And so it's hard to really go. He doesn't know what happened between individual peoples, and he's just telling you how he was handled.
Right.
And that's all you can do.
He was a superstar, too.
Exactly.
And I don't know. Look, I don't know Dabo.
No,
I don't know. Neither of us knows what happened.
But you
in
know
this situation.
What I'm talking about.
But yeah,
right.
I hear you.
There's a bond there.
Right. I hear you. What do you think about DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson? Here's basically what the deal is. They signed a petition where they want to, they're not the only ones. They weren't even the ones that started the petition, but they have joined other Clemson students and faculty and some alums and all that. I'm not sure if faculty, but as signing this petition to have the name of John Calhoun removed from the Honors College at Clemson. John Calhoun was a slave owner. What do you think about this?
I love the movement. This is the time you can get some of these things done, Chris, where everybody is quote unquote woke and you can point out some of these things. You know, no, seriously,
right,
because
right.
A lot of times it's hard to get those things. We just had it yesterday, right, with Euclidus and what's going on at the University of Cincinnati and whatnot. And people start to look at some things and go, you know, really, should these be places that we're celebrating these people? Not that we're trying to erase history, because people try to say, you can't erase history. If you erase history, you're bound to repeat it. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. I can guarantee you, Chris, if you go to Germany, you won't see any statues of people who were involved in the Nazi party and Hitler. Do you
right.
know what I mean? That don't mean you forgot about it or you're going to act like it didn't happen, but you don't need to celebrate that stuff. That's the point.
Right. And also, Rob, historically, I mean, throughout human history, when nations changed, whether in most cases they were overtaken,
right,
you know, by another nation. But in the cases of African Americans, and to be honest, in these last several hundred years, African people worldwide, all of their revolutions, our revolutions, have been nonviolent. You know, in South Africa, it was a nonviolent revolution.
Yeah.
When all of the countries that had been colonized in Africa gave independence back to the African nations, it was a nonviolent move. With civil rights movement here, nonviolent. And so this, but ultimately it is a change and a shift in the nation, which is, it's the same thing. And usually when that happens, whether violent or not, the old landmarks are taken down. When the settlers of America came here, they knocked down the history of the Native Americans.
No doubt.
They destroyed
it,
right? And started their own. And so that is what happens when nations have a sea change. It'd be great if this one could be nonviolent. And so, yeah, you're trying to take away, you know, they want a slave owner. Obviously, look, there are so many things that are attached. Everything in this nation is attached to slavery. So many of the greatest colleges in this country were founded, you know, on slave money and corporations. I mean, George Washington's on the dollar bill. He owns slaves, you know, so you can take this really far. I think something else that they should look at doing, though, at Clemson, only less than 7% of the student body is African American. Less than in 2016, less than 4% of the teachers or professors were African American. Those are things that I think also need to be looked at and addressed when, you know, you need to get up these percentages of African-American students up. And I think that's something I'd like to see players address some of that stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that stuff, too, as well. But I don't have an issue with them taking down
people.
Right, celebrating people who were bad people. Those people shouldn't be celebrated, Chris.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We've got 2 hours left. You know what to do. Keep it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes. Could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. You can also follow Rob and me on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. At the bottom of the hour, Rob, did you get this guest at the bottom of the hour?
Yes, he was on my podcast. Mr. Rod Carew, 7-time batting champion, Chris, in the American League. It'll be an honor to have him on the Odd Couple. Rod Carew, one of the all-time great hitters.
Hold on, no, Rob. Did you just say that you got the guest?
Did I say that?
Oh, yeah, I had him on my podcast. Who booked him on your podcast, Rob?
Rob.
And then who booked him on the radio show?
Rob. like him and Rod Carew were boys.
Look,
or
man,
I was like,
that. I call him RC because I know him on a personal level.
Oh, you
and,
know,
you know
him
we
like
kick
that.
It every once in a while. We have a lot in common.
Rod Carew was my favorite player growing up.
Is that right?
Yes. Because he was he was my dad's favorite player, and I just adopted him as my favorite because he was such a great hitter. Like you said, he was one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen.
He won 7 batting titles in the American League. That's how great he was.
Yeah.
So we'll talk with Rod Carew.
Yes, a lot of fun. He's got a new book coming out, so we'll get into that and so much more with him.
And did I say my podcast drops every Thursday morning inside the Parker on the Herd Podcast Network?
Yeah, you just said it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Rob, let's go to the NFL. We've been talking a little bit of college football. Patrick Mahomes, as we said, we both gave him props. You know, all the guys, the NFL players that were in that video last Thursday night. The Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., several players, probably more than a dozen.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot of big names, a lot of faces you recognized. And one of them, the biggest, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. And I salute Patrick Mahomes for stepping out and speaking up, and it was great. But, Rob, we've seen some columns written, and I just think they're a little, like, they've basically been praising Mahomes for what he did. And I think they're a little over the top.
Chris, go ahead. And we should say this real quick. Because you remember we talked about it, and I wrote a column for Deadspin about where are the black voices. Do you remember? And then following that column, and he was one of the guys I mentioned. I think it was Dak, Russell Wilson, Mahomes.
Deshaun Watson.
Lamar Jackson. And after that column came out, well, I'm not saying it was because I wrote it, but after the column came out.
You know, I'll take a little bit.
But three of them came out immediately with statements, and it was Mahomes, and it was Russell Wilson.
Russell.
And then Dak made a $1 million donation to police training, and he made a statement.
Right.
And Deshaun Watson went to a march, right, in Houston, I think it was, Chris. And we still haven't heard from Lamar Jackson, but my point is that it was important that we heard from those guys because prior to that, we had heard from white quarterbacks who were very outspoken, including Trevor Lawrence, who's in college,
right,
who felt compelled to say something and say, hey, can you listen to black people? I'm with the black people, basically.
Right. Right. And Mahomes, like I said, we salute what he did, and it's great. And it'll be interesting to see what he does going forward if he wants to take that mantle on. But a lot of people in the NFL, Rob, kind of talking like it was just incredible what he did. And because he's the best player in the league, that they really, I thought, went a little overboard with the praise. But here's some quotes from one of the reports we're talking about.
That's right, guys. One of them quoted Doug Williams, you know, the Super Bowl champion quarterback. He called
the first black man to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback.
He called it powerful, which, you know, was a good compliment. But this is where it started to get a little bit over the top. In one article on Yahoo, a NFL employee said, quote, "In a contract negotiation offseason, to have the courage to put his neck out on the line with the collective group is just really inspiring." That's one. "I respect the hell out of that" is another one. And last, in another ESPN article, a front office exec was quoted as saying, "Getting Mahomes to participate in that video was so big," end quote.
You want to take it first, Rob?
No, I'll let you take it first. Just let me give my little piece. Is I think sometimes people get carried away. That, let me leave it at that. And Chris, you take it first.
Yeah, and look, like we said, I salute all the players, including Mahomes, for what they did. I think it was great for them to come together like that. But I think this over the top, what I would call over the top praise, is a sign of how low the bar really is. How little we expect of black athletes to be able to speak up. Patrick Mahomes is a human being. Most human beings, regardless of race, saw what happened to George Floyd and were appalled. And that's all that Patrick Mahomes did, was he said, "I was appalled," essentially. You know what I mean? Like, and he said, "I'm appalled that it keeps happening. And I'm appalled that systemic racism is still in existence." Any human being should be able to voice their displeasure with an unjust situation. That's all that Patrick Mahomes and the players did. And I salute them, but I'm not going to act like, you know, they just did something that was virtually impossible to do. You know, so that's all I'm saying. I mean, Muhammad Ali did something. He took on the United States government. These guys, as great as what it was, what they did, they just said, "Look, we want the NFL to speak up on this. We want the NFL to say what half of America's saying."
And Chris, let me jump in.
That's all I'm saying.
No, and I get your point. And the other thing is, oh my goodness gracious, unbelievable, during a contract negotiation, this guy actually spoke out about a murder we saw committed, Chris, on the streets of Minneapolis in plain view.
Right, right.
In plain view. Oh, we can't give that guy a contract, even though he's the youngest player to have an MVP and a Super Bowl championship ever. We can't give him a deal because he pointed out an unjust and wrong thing in our society. Oh, my, what a terrible human being he is. Really?
Right.
Really? Come on.
Right.
I'm sorry. Ain't nobody thinking about their contract negotiations when you make a statement about what we just saw. Look at all the people in the streets. Look at everybody. If you're not outraged by that, what would it take to make you outraged and to speak out? What do I always say, Chris? The only people worse than the people doing the harm are the good people turn the other way and don't say anything. Yeah. They're worse because they know right from wrong.
And as I agree with you, Robin, as I said, it's a sign of how, let's just look, we just got to keep it real, how black people have grown up in this country for generations biting their tongue. I can't say this because what will white people think of me? I can't say this because I might lose my job. I can't do this because I can't wear my hair like this. I can't. So it's so bad that when a black person does speak up, it's viewed as so, so, so courageous. And we're saying we it's time to move past that. It's great that they spoke out, but that's the right of every human being. It's the right of every human being. And look, Colin Kaepernick did it and he lost his job. So I get the fear.
He's in a different situation than Patrick Mahomes. And here's the other thing too, Chris. The difference too is in his situation, Patrick had he's at the top of the pinnacle as far as football. So I know people are trying to make a big deal about him being a part of it, but this is the reality. With or without him, the NFL would have spoke out, Chris, if he wasn't in that video.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind this was the most blatant thing that could not be ignored. So I'm not buying like, oh, that was Roger Goodell saw the video and said, well, is Patrick in it? Okay, now we'll do something.
Right.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
Because they had a lot of big name. Michael Thomas, who's arguably the best receiver in the league, one of them. He was, you know, and we mentioned the other names. Ezekiel Elliott, arguably the best
OBJ,
running back.
Saquon right.
Barkley, OG,
OBJ
yeah.
is probably the biggest name yes. outside of football. Do you know what I mean? Where people
right.
know who he is.
Right. And the other thing, and this is, I've said this plenty of times about black athletes, and Kaepernick, like I said, he paid the price for essentially speaking out. He obviously knelt down, did something more symbolic than just speaking out. But he paid the price. And I thought he was that made him even more courageous because he was expendable, right? He wasn't a star. Had Kaepernick done that right after going to the Super Bowl,
he would still
he
be
would
on
still
the team
be in the league.
And people absolutely. Didn't
right.
Chris, 100%.
And that's where a Patrick Mahomes, because he's so good, he can say whatever he wants. He could kneel and they wouldn't. I mean, let's be honest. If Patrick Mahomes knelt during the national anthem, there would be no issues.
Especially not in Kansas City, I'll tell you that.
Right.
When they hadn't won a championship in 50 years, Chris.
Right. It's like LeBron James. There's the superstars on that level where they can say and do whatever they want. And you and I have talked about it. That we'd like them to use their clout and their power to do things like this, not just speak out, but to do many other things, even more tangible things that can help progress the African-American community in race relations.
And that's why we were so disappointed in Michael Jordan, because he was Teflon. He was bulletproof, Chris.
Right.
Even
no
at the time with the whole Harvey Dent and Jesse Helms. And he could have affected change in North Carolina. We all know Jesse Helms.
He was
Helms.
So good, people.
Right.
And he said Republicans buy sneakers, too. We don't know it's for a fact. They would have bought his sneakers.
Yes.
Even if he spoke out in support of Harvey Gantt. They
right.
would have. And you're right. He reached that level.
He was on that level where he wouldn't have been hurt by it. And the same thing here. Even if you even thought about it, like, can you imagine if all this is going on and Patrick Mahomes still to this point hadn't spoken out or hadn't done anything? Do you think that would be favorable or would that be a bad look for him?
It would be a bad look. And I think for him, because he is biracial, people would really question him. You know what I mean? Where is he at in terms of supporting African-American causes? Now, Lamar Jackson hasn't spoken out, which I'm surprised at.
I just don't get it either. I know Chris and I did when I was writing the column for Deadspin. I did look at some of his social media to try to see if he had said anything before I wrote it. You know what I mean? To make sure.
Right.
And most of his stuff was retweeting of other people. But he really, up until the point when I was looking at it, and this was almost a week ago, he didn't have anything. And I don't know, Rob G, have you monitored, have you seen anything from Lamar Jackson? Because, Chris, you haven't, right?
I have not.
I have not either, other than a few retweets. That's
yeah,
about
that's,
it.
That's
it's
all
interesting
I've seen.
Because he has spoken, you know, he's been great in terms of speaking about his team, his teammates. And I'm not ripping him because, you know, we'll find out at some point why he hasn't said anything. But he usually, you know, he's spoken out about a few things, you know, football related.
Right.
And so it's a bit surprising, but, you know, we'll see we'll see what's holding him up. All right, let's get to the callers, Rob. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Is Patrick Mahomes getting a little too much credit for speaking out against racial injustice? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're brought to you by GEICO. Although we're apart these days, we are sharing more. And GEICO sharing more, too, with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit GEICO.com/giveback for information and eligibility. All right, Rob, let's get to the phone lines. 877-99 on Fox. Is Patrick Mahomes getting too much credit? We're giving him credit, but is he giving too much credit just for speaking out on these racial injustices?
What do they think, he's an American Express card?
Can we get to the calls?
I'm sorry. Thank you. Brian in Virginia, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, my man? Hey, look, I'm going to tell you, I look forward to y'all show every day, and I mean that.
Thank you, man.
Man, that means a lot us, too.
Hey, no problem. And, Rob, I want to say one thing. That response you had toward Drew Brees, that's something that should have been required. I should have got that on tape, but I didn't.
We got it on tape. Awesome. Thank you, my
Rob man. Rob saves all his takes on tape.
I got every word.
But so what I wanted to say about Patrick Mahomes, number one, you know, in my opinion, if somebody says something, sometimes it's not enough. If somebody doesn't say anything, then they're not doing anything. And it's like, you know, and a lot of times black people can't win. One thing I want to point out is nobody's talking about all the work Anquan Boldin is doing about this subject. He retired from football when his cousin got killed with the same issue with Brother yep. George Floyd. And he's actually created an organization. He's going around making things happen. So sometimes you don't have to speak to make it happen. You know, nobody knows what Lamar Jackson is planning in a case like that. Nobody knows about that if he's not speaking. But speaking about it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. And I also want to say, I know George Floyd is the main brother in the business right now as far as what's going on in the world, but let's not forget Ahmaud Arbery. This is not that long ago right. about what happened.
Breonna
Taylor.
What
I mean? So,
those names, all those people have been named, and you're right, because it just happened and the funeral just took place. So I do get it, Brian, but those people aren't forgotten. I've heard those names as well from people.
He's right. Anquan Boldin. And Rob, we covered
his very first game yep. in the NFL. Anquan.
Yep. He has done great stuff. And that's, look, I know people, you know, poo-pooed the NFL with the $90 million. I'm not saying they couldn't do more. But I know Anquan. I've talked with him about Inspire Change, and that's the organization he's working with. They have done a lot. They are in Florida and Georgia changing laws. And, I mean, they've done a great deal of stuff with this money from the NFL. So he's right. I got to salute Anquan.
All right, Kevin in Mississippi. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What you got, Kev?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Doing
great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Love the show. Kudos to everything the previous caller just said. Just three quick points. First of all, yes, I think Mahomes is getting proper but too much credit. He wasn't the Lewis and Clark on this. He's following right. the path. But kudos to him for following the path. I think Colin Kaepernick, to me, was the one who made the stance when it wasn't popular. So when I look at that,
he had something to lose. You know what I mean? Like his career.
He had a lot to lose. And great yep. point, Rob, because what I was going to say, I'm a big Saints fan, but when Drew Brees made his statement, as soon as the incoming came, he got up off of it and apologized. Colin said, well, look, I'm not moving off of it. I'm going to take the incoming. This is what I truly believe in. So I'm not going to move. Two big differences in the belief system. But the last thing I want to say is that I think if Colin's last name was not Kaepernick, but let's say it was Goldstein, and he was protesting, say, things that were happening in the Jewish community, like the burning of synagogues or something like that, and if there were other people of Jewish descent in the NFL, I think they would have coalesced around him, and they would have all been consolidated. I blame a whole lot of the players that are coming out right now. Where were they when Colin needed them at that point. If they all would have coordinated at that point,
Chris and I
have moving because he's right.
Chris and I have talked about, Chris, didn't we both talked about this? We're with
several
you, Kevin,
times.
That the players could have done something 4 years ago when Colin, if they had gotten together, and then there would might not have been any casualties if they would have gotten together. But they have to do it together.
They could have just threatened, we're not playing until Kaepernick's back in the league. He deserves to be in the league.
And it would have happened.
They wouldn't have missed the game.
They would not have missed the game.
And they could still do that. If they really want to, they still could do that.
They have that power.
Yep. Maybe it remains to be seen whether or not they will. We'll see.
Hey, let's go to Kane in D.C. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, gentlemen. Love the show as always, brothers.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, yes, Mahomes is getting a bit too much credit. I think that he's getting a lot of credit, one, because his position in the NFL is being obviously the best quarterback in football. But also, I want to say that I think it's because of the backlash that he got from the Trayvon Martin comment when he was the support of George Zimmerman. So I think that has something to do with him coming out as well, because he was such important George Zimmerman, and online he was taking a beating. When people come out and they do stuff, that's when they get the credit. When you speak up, when it's not a given.
Right.
And it's followed by actors like Kaepernick and Anquan Boldin and Dabo Swinney and Drew Brees. I want people to stop using that term. What people are saying is it's not foreseen. So I forgot what they call it. I forgot what they said. But what it was intentional and very precise. They did that on purpose, especially Dabo Swinney. He knew exactly what he was doing.
He wore a t-shirt at a time
like this on purpose, and there's no middle ground. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he did it on purpose.
Yeah, that shirt rubs me the wrong way. Like, you had to convince me that all your clothes were dirty that you would wear that shirt. Seriously, Chris, on that weekend of all.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. We've got one of the greatest hitters, bar none, in the history of baseball. As Rob said, a 7-time batting champion, an 18-time All-Star in Major League Baseball.
When did he make the All-Star team? Right.
The great Hall of Famer, Rod Carew. Rod, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Well, it's great to be on, guys.
It is great to have you. You have a new book coming out, One Tough Out. It's called Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. It's in stores now. Can you tell us about the book?
Well, actually, the book is really basically about my heart attack, my heart transplant. Mm. It's got some baseball in it, but it's to bring awareness to people that they need to take care of themselves, take care of their hearts, because if they don't, you know, they're going to be in the same spot that I was in. So go see your doctor, check yourselves out, and get the okay from him.
Rod, you were born in Panama. And when was your dream to be a Major League Baseball player? Like, was that back in Panama? Was that later on in life? When did you think that's something that you would want to do and dreamt about?
Oh, I think I was about 7 or 8 years old. You know, I used to listen to the games on the Armed Forces radio. And I always wondered when they said they had 40,000 people in the stands. I thought it was a joke.
Right, you didn't believe it.
Yeah. So I decided one day I'm going to play in front of, 40 or 50,000 people, which fortunately my dream came true.
Rod, now you were a career, we mentioned you won 7 batting championships. You were a career 328 hitter. What do you make of, today's analytics, and you even have heard baseball people say batting average doesn't matter, right, and things like that. And, you know,
home runs,
a lot
or strikeouts.
Of, right, it's all home runs or strikeouts, which was totally opposite what you did. What do you make of this, you know, this kind of the new way of playing baseball compared to how you played it?
Well, you know, they taught us everything about playing the game, you know, to moving runners over when they get into scoring position and things like that. They didn't show us anything about hitting the home runs is going to make a difference. Yeah, home runs are great, but you need that guy that can, you know, move runners over, that can get on base and steal a base or two and score runs. That's the importance to me in baseball. It's not, you know, batting titles and stuff like that. It's all the other little things that you do in the game that makes a team a winner and makes a team successful.
When you look at your career, you played in two places only. You were drafted by the Twins, played with the Twins, and then you went to the California Angels back then in Anaheim, and you played in Minnesota longer. Do you view yourself as just as a Twin, or can you separate yourself from the Angels, or no? Because that's where you finished up. What do you think of yourself as?
Well, I think of myself as a Twin because I spent 14 years in the Twins organization. And I did a lot of things in the Twins organization that I didn't do as an Angel. But I love playing both places because I was received in Minnesota as a young, hot-headed kid. And then I was received in California as a veteran player that could help the team win some games.
Rye, what was your take on the cheating scandal with the Houston Astros and stealing signs and, you know, stuff like that? What was your take on that?
Well, you know, the way they did it was not a good idea. We used to steal signs when we were on the field, on the base pads, and things like that, but never with beating on anything or blowing a whistle, nothing like that. You know, if we had done that, when I played, Gibson, Koufax, yep, Drysdale, McDowell, all those, you would be hitting from their backs.
Yes. it was totally different. You would have not gotten away with that. Our guest is Rod Carew, the Hall of Famer, of course, from the Minnesota Twins and the California Angels, joining us here on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Rod, the players and the owners are going back and forth. Negotiations are going on. It looks like it's getting closer and closer that we're going to get a deal and the number of games. But, you know, we've had 26 years of labor peace between the union and the owners. Why do you think the haggling and why they can't come together and get fans baseball, especially when the country is just dying to get some sports going? Baseball could have a great opportunity, and yet we're still haggling.
Well, you know, we're still going through that pandemic virus, and to get people in big groups like they would get in ball games, I think it's a dangerous situation for people to pick up this pandemic virus. So, unless they want to play, you know, in empty stadiums. And if they do that, I think it's more or less for the TV money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it would be empty stadiums. That's the proposal, no fans, right?
Right. That's the same thing they're doing in South Korea and some of these other places that play the game. And it's no fun, you know, watching the game and seeing there's nobody in the stands pulling for either team. And I just think it's a tough idea, you know. And think about the players' health. You know, this thing is not over yet. And I think they're going to endanger players and other people around the game unless they get a cure in time.
Rod, we've seen what's going on around the country and even around the world with the protest and the racial unrest. We had Torrey Hunter on yesterday, and he talked about, and even Kevin Youkilis, and they talked about racism that they encountered as players in Major League Baseball, mainly from fans. Did you encounter a lot of racism when you played back in the 70s and 80s and even a little bit in the 60s?
Oh, definitely. You know, I grew up playing in Panama, but, yeah, it was tough back there. Racism back there was worse than it is in this country.
Really?
So, oh, definitely. You know, in the Latin American countries, it's racism is hard. You know, you can't go into areas where the whites live. You can't swim in the pools. You have commissaries for black and white.
Wow.
So, you know, when I came up, I knew what racism was about because it was practiced against me in my own country. And then playing in the South, you know, you saw the things in the Jackie Robinson movie where they put black cats or black puppies down in the dugout to get you riled up. Well, the same thing happened to me in North Carolina, but I paid no attention to it because I had seen the Jackie Robinson story. I knew what they were trying to do, and I was just there to play baseball, nothing else.
Wow. Yep, and the last thing for me, when you see the young people in the streets and what's going on in this country, you know, that they want a different world than maybe their parents or grandparents had to live in this country. Does that warm you up a little bit or think that change is coming when you see so many young people in different colors and from all over the world all backing this cause and holding up signs talking about Black Lives Matter? What does that do for you?
Well, to me, all lives matter, you know. We're all God's children. And we have to find some way of communicating, getting together. And I hate to see all these young kids out there protesting and burning because now you have to turn around and build it up, you know. So something has to get, you know. And I just hate to see this all the time on television. You know, you watch nothing else but, you know, the burnings and the destroying of property, people. Some people, that's their livelihood.
Right.
You can't keep doing this.
It's the great Rod Carew. Rod, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, guys, and thanks for getting my new book on the air. And the main thing about this book is not so much all baseball, but it has to do with my heart attack, my getting a new heart, getting a new kidney, and to let people be aware that they have to take care of their bodies. They can't keep drinking and smoking and think that the heart is going to be alive for one of their lives.
And that book is called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. It's in stores now. It's by Rod Carew. Rod, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thank
Stay
you.
Well. Yes. The great Rod Carew and Chris in 2016, they named the batting title when you win the batting title, now called the Rod Carew American League batting title. That's his name is on it.
Is that the record for batting? Is that the most? Who holds the record for most batting titles?
I think it's Ty Cobb. I think he's the second. Second most American League batting titles. Ty Cobb had the record.
That's incredible. All right. It's the most controversial segment of the day. Shop Talk is next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And Rob, what is today? He must be in his fridge getting out some cheese and lettuce. You know how he likes to eat that cheese and lettuce or something. All right, go ahead. I want to hear this.
Trash Talking Tuesday.
Very nice, Alex. Very nice. And yes, Chris,
thank you.
I was in the fridge.
Getting some cheese and lettuce.
You
and
know,
mayonnaise.
Chris, I swear that's exactly what I'm doing.
I know when you're
not
on your
the
diet.
Mayonnaise. I have the ranch dressing just a little bit.
Right. You're sick.
But I got the butter soft lettuce with a little cheese on the top, and I'm about to have it during the next break.
That's
you're
dinner?
Right. No. I'm having ribs with barbecue sauce with no sugar. That's what I'm having for dinner.
Okay. All right. I just had some butcher box steak earlier for dinner.
This stuff
yes.
is so... Can you taste... I could taste the difference on this steak.
Grass-fed.
Am I
yes,
right,
it's
Chris?
Very good. Their steak is very good. Yes, indeed.
Very all right. good.
All right. It's time for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody yeah. exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Hey, Chris, I had steak for lunch, too. You don't see me bragging about it. Relax.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
I made my own steak. I had to grill my own steak.
So did I.
I bet you bought yours.
I like how you say that I had to grill my own steak. Like it's something that normal people don't do. Just because you got a whole team of people who work for you, Chris,
yeah, see.
Doesn't mean you're not above throwing on the grill every once in a while.
Please.
All right.
Please,
I thought the chef would have come by Chris's house today.
Yeah, I think that's Thursdays, yeah, right? Yeah. Thursdays and Fridays?
Right, Thursdays, that's right. The weekend.
All right. It is Shop Talk, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. This every single day at 8:45 p.m. Eastern. We discuss something that happened outside of the world of sports. Today's topic comes to us courtesy of Sin City. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the news, but Las Vegas is officially open for business, and it's a hit. They are now they're doing temperature scans and wearing masks when you walk into the hotel. But once you're in, it's a free-for-all. It's just like Vegas of yesteryear. People are walking around no mask. People are walking around half naked. They're drunk. They're high. It's all good. It's a good
party. So it's just back to normal.
It's just Vegas.
Wow.
But I saw one guy on social media. He was at a slot machine, and he had on rubber gloves. He had a mask on, right? And he was smoking a cigarette through his mask.
That's right.
The cigarette was
what?
On the side.
We did see that.
Did you see that?
I did.
Ridiculous.
So it looks like Vegas of old. So here's the question, guys. Given our current climate, how soon would you feel comfortable going on vacation again, number one? And number two, when you do go on vacation, where would you want to go? We'll start with you, Rob Parker.
You know me. I'm a vacation guy. I love to travel. Rob Parker has said no to vacations in 2020. I'm not going anywhere from now to the rest of the year. I'm done. I'm going to be on the safe side. I was supposed to go to Russia this summer. You guys knew that. That trip, of course, is canceled.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was going to Russia. I was going to visit a friend. She lives in Moscow, and she's a big-time reporter, and I was going there. And I'm not going. Next year, Rob G., next year.
Look, I'm different. I think different people are affected differently by this. Like, my wife, and it's interesting, my wife and one of my daughters are very, you know, they're very cautious about this. You know, get your gloves, get your mask, don't go anywhere unnecessary, like very much so. And myself and my other daughter are very nonchalant about it. So if I were in Vegas, I really wouldn't be tripping. That's just me. I just am not that concerned about this. I know it's real, but I don't know. It just hasn't, I'm not at all afraid of it. But obviously, I go on vacations with my wife, so our vacations are canceled, too. We're going to go to Martha's Vineyard this summer, and we're going to South Africa over Christmas, Rob. I don't know if that's still a possibility or not. Yeah, us and another couple with our whole families. I haven't either. I don't know if that's still a possibility or not, but our summer vacations like you are off.
So even when you guys go on vacation eventually, are you going to make a point to go somewhere that's more secluded just because you're kind of cautious of what's going on or what?
I will because of my wife, but if it were up to me, I wouldn't be that worried, concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get on another cruise ship next year, take another cruise somewhere
Golden Girls
then make the
too?
Trip. Nah, I don't know if I'm going that. Maybe I'll go on the Good Times cruise.
He's going to go back to Antarctica and then be the fourth black person. He'll be the third and the fourth
person.
He's
first, second, third, and fourth.
No, I'm not going Antarctica. I'm done. I'm good on that.
All right, we got an hour left. iCouple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the iCouple, Chris and Rob, and we're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Rob, yesterday you and I went at it about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. And
it was about the postseason.
Yeah, I beat you up pretty bad.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that.
But today, man, Pro Football Focus, they came out. And that wasn't, Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it Pro Football Focus that was praising Rodgers?
Yes, they had also called him the highest WAR of any playoff quarterback in the last 15 years.
Okay, well, they've come out with a story, and it wasn't just yesterday, but it came out a few days ago recently, where they do not even have him listed as one of the top 50 players in the NFL. Now, obviously, it's shocking to me. Now, look, you've got other positions, obviously. It wasn't just quarterbacks, but without having to go through, you know, all the position players and everybody that you have on the list, to not have Aaron Rodgers, as much as I think he has fallen off some, as much as I think he hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers of 4 or 5 years ago, to not have him in the top 50 players, that is a bit baffling, especially, Rob, coming off a 13-3 season.
Right. I think it's downright, it's like a runaway train that people hop on. And this has happened before where people think somebody's finished and they start piling on and they start coming on. And then to me, I would look at Aaron Rodgers as, even if you want to say, okay, his numbers declined or whatever you want to use as your measure, but I don't think like, it's impossible, like he's so old and beat up and that he couldn't have a good year if they added some receivers, which they didn't do in the draft, which they had hoped
Which shows you something, though, about what they think. Let's be honest. Why didn't they add a receiver?
Because
they got Devontae Adams. They got a good running game.
That's not
enough.
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
right.
No, but I'm with you. But that, to me, that says something about, you know, and there have been those that have written. We don't know if it's true. But there have been reports that, you know, LaFleur and the owner, you know, just the organization kind of wanted to put Aaron in his place and let him know, you got to prove it.
With an organization that's won the one championship, they have one with Brett Favre, one with Aaron Rodgers. The Packers do a lot of stuff right, Chris. I like their organization, but they don't do everything right. And they easily, with that Aaron Rodgers and the numbers and the stuff that he's put up, should have won more Super Bowls or had a chance to win more Super Bowls, but they never fixed the defense. Five of his eight playoff losses, the defense has given up 37 points or more. Five of his eight playoff losses. And the other three, Chris, he scored the game tie. He helped them get the game tying touchdown and never got the ball back. That's how all of his playoff games have been lost.
He wasn't very good in NFC championship games
But I'm just giving you eight of those losses, five of them were where the defense gave up 37 points. That's hard to win. I don't care who you are.
Right. But he has been on the decline. Look, it is possible that he is declining. I mean, statistically, he's declining. He's 36 years old. Last year, he only completed 62% of his passes. He had the worst passer rating that he's had since 2015, and the third worst since he's been a full-time starter. And so I've said this, Rob, because I'm not convinced that he's done. But when I say done, obviously he's still good enough to be an above average starter. But I mean done being like one of the elite quarterbacks. But I do want to see it. I haven't seen that elite all-time great Aaron Rodgers in 3 years, Rob. And I think if you be honest, you feel the same way. Let's be honest. I'm not saying he's been a train wreck. I'm not saying he's been terrible, but have you seen that Aaron Rodgers in 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, but when you talk about that, there are two of those years there was injuries involved, Chris. Can you
one year.
Can you acknowledge that?
He played 16 games the last 2 years.
Okay, the year before that, can you acknowledge he was
hurt? That year, 2017, okay. He played seven games. I'll give you that.
Okay.
But the last 2 years, he's played 16.
And last year, I'm trying to remember what was going on with that team.
He had aches and pains. Yeah, he had aches and pains, but he played. I mean, I'm supposed to give him credit for that?
No, I'm just saying. And this past year, I mean, he had his moments. The offense changed. They wanted to run the ball more and not throw the ball as much. And there's nothing you could do. The whole narrative was about him being a team player and following. They got a new coach and they want to do some new things. Is Aaron Rodgers going to rebel and freelance, or is he going to follow the script? He followed the script. And then everybody's mad at him because he followed the script. Because
he didn't get it done against San Francisco. That's why they're mad at him.
That can't be it, because he got it done against Seattle in a big game.
You know I love messing with you on Aaron Rodgers. All right, let's get these callers in, Rob. 877-99 on Fox. It's time for what?
Trash Talking.
I know, but call in now.
Tuesday.
Trash Talking Tuesday. That's right. That's at 6:40 Pacific, 9:40 Eastern. But line up now, because this is a hot segment and everybody's got somebody to trash. So 877-99 on Fox. Get the call in now. While you're calling in, we're going to be talking to Marcus Cromartie, the former NFL veteran, now an NFL analyst. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. He played with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. He was a defensive back, now an NFL analyst. We welcome Marcus Cromartie to the show. Marcus, how you doing?
Where is he?
I'm doing great, man. I'm right here, Rob. I hear you loud and clear, baby.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Thanks for joining the show, man. As I mentioned, you were there in San Francisco when Kaepernick was with the 49ers. We talked about it earlier, Rob and I, and Malcolm Jenkins, Carlos Hyde, Matt Ryan, several players have come out and said Kaepernick should be back in the league. What's your take on it? You think they should offer him a contract with some team to get back in the NFL?
Well, no question. They should have offered him 3 years ago. But here's the thing. I think at this point now, his purpose better off served him not being in the NFL. I feel like it's been clear cut that he's been blackballed. It's been clear cut that the NFL wasn't on the right side of history. And now it's like, you know, why do I need to concede to what the NFL wants to do now? You know, you had 3 years to make this right. I feel like it's no point in Colin trying to get back in the NFL.
I hear you. And some people do believe that take, and I'm not going to argue with you if that's where Colin's heart is. When Colin originally took the knee, take us back to 2016. What was going on? Your thoughts? What did you think was happening? Because a lot of people, Chris and I talked about it for basically since, you know, the whole time, and we always thought his heart was in the right place, and here's a guy who was trying to make awareness on a big stage, but wasn't trying to, like, hog the limelight or the camera about it, like, look at me, look what I'm doing. What was your thinking back in 2016?
Well, funny enough, Chris, the day before two days before the game, we all had a team meeting, and we discussed what was it going to be like, because, as you know, the first game of our season was Monday Night Football. So whatever Colin did, it was going to be on the biggest stage of football of a regular season game. So we had a meeting, a team meeting 2 days before the game, and Colin basically spoke to us what message he was trying to conceive. And it was basically what he said for the last 3 years. This isn't about the military. You know, I spoke to Nate Boyer, who was the former Navy SEAL or whatever.
Right.
Exactly. The Green Beret, I'm sorry. And so he spoke with him, and they, you know, suggested, hey, I think you should kneel instead of sitting, because people don't know Colin actually sat on the bench the fourth preseason game. So leading up to that first game, Monday Night Football, Colin spoke. He said, I'm going to kneel. This is why I'm going to kneel. ABC, it's about police brutality. It's about black people having the same amount of equal rights as, you know, whites or and whoever else. And so he told us this. He gave us the spiel. And, you know, and to be honest with you, it was up to us as the players to kind of unify behind him, and we did. But I think at the time, players wasn't so comfortable in expressing their opinion that way because of the social criticism you would have gotten at the time.
Do you
but
now, think?
But let me follow up, ahead, Chris. Sorry. But now, when you see like the whole George Floyd, that's what Colin was talking about. That's what
exactly.
He was trying to prevent. And now everybody's on board, and all these players in the league. Oh, we should have listened. It now, in hindsight, when you look at this, it kind of comes off like, oh yeah, now we had to. Now everybody's on board, but he's never deviated from what this was about from Jump Street.
Exactly. And I think it's a lot of pandering going on because, like you said, it all boils down to social criticism. Like at point A in 2016, it was looked at as disrespectful to the flag. That was the narrative that was changed, not by Colin, but by the President Trump, by sports media. That was the narrative that was changed. It's about the flag, and it's never been about the flag. And I think it took George Floyd's death, unfortunately, for people to see, wow, Colin was never trying to protest the flag. He was trying to protest police brutality, which was the case, you know, at the whole time. Unfortunately, the players are starting to see now they're stronger together. And it starts with players like Patrick Mahomes, like you've seen with the video, Patrick Mahomes and Michael Thomas, and guys who's willing to, and it has to be the guys who make the big bucks, because that's the only way the guys who's making $600,000-$700,000 are going to follow.
Marcus, I want to stick with Kaepernick, but get on the field. You were in San Francisco. You started there. Your first year was there in 2014. So
right.
You were kind of there as Colin went from being this kind of superstar who had led them to the Super Bowl and then kind of fell off, you know, and eventually
right.
lost his starting job. Did you see the decline? Like, what was going through, you know, obviously you were going against him in practice. What did you see in his game where he kind of fell off from that superstar status to being a second stringer ultimately?
To be completely honest with you, I think coaching had a lot to do with it. Think about this. You had three different head coaches in three different years.
Mm-hmm.
And every head coach was different. You know, you had Harbaugh, which was kind of like, you know, this pro style, running the ball, you know, playing the field position type of coach. And then you have Tom Sula, who was really a defensive coach. This guy's a D-line coach. He's not a head coach. And I got nothing but love for Tom Sula, but he's a D-line coach. And then you have Chip Kelly, which was, you know, that experiment. And, you know, Chip Kelly is totally different from John Harbaugh. It's two different offices. So, you know, I think that hurt him along the way. And you have such consistency with Harbaugh, and then now you have Chip Kelly. And so I think that led to his decline, quote unquote. But also, I just think he, like I said, I don't think he got in the right system ever since Harbaugh left the 49ers.
Marcus,
that's
last
a great,
thing for
great
me.
Comment.
Yeah, yeah. But then, and that reads into Chris what was going on in San Francisco. But the last thing, if you were asked for a percentage of players who you think will kneel this, Chris, you all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that would kneel during the national anthem this year. What do you think it'll be, considering where we are?
Kneeling. I would say 50-50, honestly. I would say 50% of players,
really?
Especially. I would say 50-50. But I would say 70% of the players, I would say 70% of the black players are going to do some type of protest. Whether it's a fist in the air, whether it's, you know, maybe they kneel coming out from halftime. It's going to be some type of protest. Maybe they don't want to take it away from the anthem, but there's going to be some protest throughout that football game that the players – you know, the NFL 70% black, that the black players say, hey, this is, you know, we want to bring attention still to equality in America.
Marcus Cromartie, great
man.
Stuff, man. We
good
appreciate
stuff,
the time.
Man. We got to have
That's
you back
insight,
on, all right?
For real.
No problem, man. Hey, I love what you guys are doing. Amazing show, man. Keep bringing that heat, man.
Thank you.
Thank you,
appreciate
brother.
It.
We appreciate it. All right,
no doubt.
Disgruntled sports fans, this one is for you. It's time for Trash Talk. 877-99 on Fox. Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's get to it. It is the iCouple, and it is your turn to shine. Trash talking is now.
Don't you ever talk about me.
It's Trash Talking Tuesday.
It's your teeth, Reggie. I don't know whether to smile at you or kick a field goal, man.
All right, let's kick it off with Mel in Palm Springs, California. You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing?
I'm trashing Rob Husky G.
Wow.
Fake Raider fan.
I love
asking yourself, how dare you pick the Patriots to beat the Raiders this year with Jarrett Stidham? And then you're in agreement over there with light skin, Gary Coleman himself, Chris Broussard. Talked about.
I liked
this,
it.
This is how you
I
sound talking about. Jarrett Stidham's going to beat the Raiders this year. Oh, yeah. He throw a ball so good. Cream cheese and glitter come out. Stop it.
My man Mel. I love it. What about Thomas in Iowa? You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Thomas, who you trashing?
Hey, I'm going to trash the University of Nebraska.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going on, man. You know why? Because we fired Coach Bo Pelini. We fired Coach Frank Solich, who win 9-10 games every year, and we stuck with a guy named Riley, who can't even win 5, then we got Frost. Man, we'll be above to go above 500. And you know what? We take it personal in Iowa against Iowa. We beat them every year under Bo Pelini, and we can't even come close to them. Get it together. We got a quarterback by the name of McCaffrey. All right? He's the man to lead the team. Put him in.
All right. What about Tony in Los Angeles? You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Tony, who you trashing?
Hey, fellas. Let me say this first. I recommend y'all watch Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix. It's going to give you a lot of answers what's going on. But I'm trashing. Here's my top seven. Where's Waldo right now? Where is Tim Tebow? Oh, my God. Sports Illustrated is not enough. When you wanted baseball and you wanted to be a baseball player, you have cameras everywhere. Where's Oprah and Ayanna? My goodness. Oprah got a whole TV network. Ayanna fixed everything. She can't fix this. Where's Peter? Lord Jesus. They put Michael Vick in jail, but they not marching for this, and he killed dogs. They killing black men. My goodness. Where's Jay-Z? He took money from the league. He ain't saying nothing. Beyonce saying everything. My last thing is, where's Chris Carter? Good Lord, have mercy. He's Geppetto, and Nick Wright is Pinocchio. His nose is still going. I digress.
My goodness, good. Tony in LA.
It's good. Rack that. Is that our first time he's caught it?
Yes.
That was good.
I don't remember
good
Tony.
Job,
what about Omar in Pennsylvania? You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, I'm trashing Dak Prescott, man. Stop it with the contract talks. Don't pay this man. What are we paying him for? He hasn't done anything. Do not pay this man. Chris, you need to stop it with this Dak Prescott. Rob, you're right. We should
Thank
not.
You.
We should not, man. You're right.
And OT. All right, Omar. Thank you. Appreciate it. What about
he ain't got much trash. And Herb, he did the same thing over
Herb
him.
In Denver. You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing, Herb?
Man, I'm trashing Dabo. I'm trashing NFL owners, and I'm trashing all the coaches and players. They don't want to end racism in America and don't want to speak up on it, but quit the trash Colin for trying to change something. I also want to trash everybody who keeps saying the NFL needs to let Colin in. No, the owners are the ones that's whiteballing them. So the owners need to let all black quarterbacks who don't get the opportunity to be a backup quarterback in the league and build generational wealth. They need to let all of them who's better than Nate Pearman and these guys who sit on the bench and make $5 and $10 million a year and build generational wealth. I'm trashing all of them.
All right, Herb in Denver. Right. Very nice.
Really good trash talk today.
Yes, very good job,
really,
everybody.
Dudes came,
and Mel
dudes
was
came
on
strong,
Twitter.
Creativity.
Hey, Rob G. Mel came after you too. He said he would.
I know. Kudos to him for putting his money where his mouth is.
He was good, very good.
I'm sorry for putting the Husky thing out there, man. I didn't know it was going to
become
a thing.
You got everybody ripping on him now. Unbelievable.
I know. My bad, Rob G.
Lillian's online too. It's okay.
Just stay with that kale, man. Stay with that kale diet. Get with Alex.
That's right.
He'll get you straight.